Number 5, Ohio State. Number 8, USC. Friday, December 29th at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have great gift ideas to fit every budget. Have someone hard to buy for? Try an O'Reilly gift card. They're available for any amount and can be used at any O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What is style all about? I don't know.
Maybe something about personality? Creating your own environment?
It's just a way of being. Just being you, actually.
Once you find your own way of living, I think style is automatic. This holiday season, Tissot and Jared the Galleria of Jewelry will give the gift of time by offering a premier selection of men's and women's luxurious watches. To find your Tissot timepiece, visit your local Jared the Galleria of Jewelry or shop online at jared.com.
Relationships come together and come to an end in the NASCAR garage this offseason. I'm Kyle Rickey. Those stories are next on NASCAR Today.
You're smart. Got your own trucking business, making it happen. What if I told you there is a place online where you could connect with other smart owner operators just like you? It's an online community called Team Run Smart, where people share advice on truck maintenance, fuel savings, healthy habits on the road, and so much more. All to make your business more profitable. And it's all free. Visit TeamRunSmart.com today to check it out. You'll be glad you did. TeamRunSmart.com, brought to you by Freightliner Trucks.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Stewart Haas Racing has announced their driver-crew chief pairings for next season. Billy Scott moves to the team's 41 car to work with Kurt Busch after spending last year with Danica Patrick, while team engineer John Klausmeier will lead the crew for the team's 10 car and driver Eric Almirola. Rodney Childers will remain with Kevin Harvick, while Mike Bugaravage will remain with Clint Bowyer. And speaking of Danica Patrick, her spokeswoman has confirmed that the five-year relationship between Patrick and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has come to an end just 1 month after she announced that she would be retiring from full-time racing. The two had been dating since their rookie years in the Cup Series in 2013. Patrick will race two races next season, the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500. For more, visit MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:05, welcome in. Welcome to hour number 3, the Todd Bromelkamp Show here on KGYM, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight, at least on 1600 AM. We'll join the Cyclone Courtside Show at that point on delay, and high school basketball on tap for you at 6:50 tonight on our FM frequencies. So if you normally listen to us on those two stations, or frequencies, I should say, it's the same station, you're going to want to catch the last couple minutes or just maybe download the podcast after everything is said and done. John Walters joined us in hour number 1 today. Mac McCausland was just with us in hour number 2. And here to kick off hour number 3, Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Iowa's defensive and offensive coordinator, met the media today, and I asked Kyle Mark as he came through the door of the studio, give me the rundown here. And he said, Phil Parker, about what you'd expect. Brian Ferentz, at least a little interesting today. What did Brian have to say about his first year as Iowa's offensive coordinator?
Oh, let's see. I'm writing the story now, and he said the one thing that was kind of discouraging maybe for him and just talking about it is he says, when he's recruiting, he goes, you know, he ends every night thinking about what happened, and usually ends up realizing that he knows less about recruiting that night than he did in the morning. He says he hopes play calling goes better than that, and I think it should, and I think it kind of did a little bit this year. Of course, I think, you know, there are two poster games. If I'm Brian Ferentz, are going on the top of my resume, Ohio State and Nebraska. And then there are two that I'm trying to hide from everybody, and that'd be Michigan State, me, maybe Northwestern a little, but really Wisconsin. You really want to kind of put some kitty litter on that one, 66 total yards. So, yeah, I think Brian Ferentz, you know, it was a year of learning, and it was a year of, you know, trying to figure out what does work and what doesn't work and learning his personnel. I expect huge growth in year two of him.
He talked a little bit about that Wisconsin game today. What did he have to say? And something to do with disappointed that he went away from the run game. Is that right?
Yeah. They were averaging, I think they went in with a preconceived notion that they wanted to throw a certain percentage on first down, and they did. But a lot of times, the only traction they really gained in that game was a little bit in the ground, I want to say mid-second quarter, maybe mid-third quarter. But they got some traction going on the ground, and then I think percentage-wise, they went away from that because they had passing in the attack. So maybe a little bit overthought that one and paid for it a little bit. But I think I'm not sure there was any sort of – there was no – page in the wind in the playbook that was going to blow in the window of the press box and, you know, save him against Wisconsin. That was just men against boys. Sometimes that happens.
Now, Mark, you hear all the rumors and the rumblings about, Ohio State, maybe Kirk Ferentz gave Brian Ferentz a little bit extra leeway to run his own offense that week. You hear that, of course, and I know this question's fairly speculative, but do you get the sense that he's still kind of trying to jockey his way for elbow room within that offense, or do you think he has full reins at this point?
No, I think there's a shell, and I think that he follows what's in that shell to, you know, to a good soldier and to be, you know, a part of the, you know, doing what his boss tells him to do. So there's nobody's going rogue in the Iowa staff. No one's going, no one's making up their own rules, and there's no, this is not a program that's, that really welcomes a lot of sort of maverick, I guess, ideas. I mean, there's a definite change of chain of command, and Brian Ferentz is very cognizant of that. I asked him today. I asked him about what they do as far as they prepare and how much they can adapt. And he says the adaptation begins on Mondays. He walked us a little bit through preparation wise, but. I think there's still, and he finished all of his thoughts with basically the thought that they're still going to have games where nothing works, and it's how you weather that storm that matters. And this year, I think we can all point to maybe, you know, they lost five games. I think Penn State, I kind of give them a little bit of room for that one. But Purdue, the effort against Michigan State, losing at Michigan State happens, yet the 10 points, that's not acceptable. And then Purdue is an awfully interesting head-scratcher, I think, still. But, you know, Brian Ferentz's first year figuring it out and moving it along. And next year, I think you'll see attack of the tight ends and really sharp Nate Stanley.
Now, do we get a preview of next year coming up next week at the Pinstripe Bowl?
As far as
the offense goes, do you think they're going to try to maybe give us a little bit of glimpse of that using more tight ends and showcasing some things, or is this just going to be a playing out the continuation of 2017?
You know what? I don't know. That's a great question, Todd, because I think that there's enough new players to where I think that they could probably throw a new and interesting concept at them to win this game, and you might never see it again. But I do think that this group has shown it can learn, it can move, and it's been through. I think Brian, when he first talked, mid-season, all the defenses that Stanley has seen thrown against him in the first half of the year is going to help him grow. You kind of see that, you kind of don't, in certain extents, in certain instances, I think. But I think they're going to try to win this game, Todd, because. To me, there's a lot of weight in this game. I mean, eight wins and winning the bowl game and snapping the five bowl losing streak, all very important for this team.
You kind of led me right to my next question because I watched a little bit of bowl action on Saturday. I was watching the Las Vegas Bowl and Oregon against Boise State. Oregon looked like they wanted to have no part of that bowl game, and Boise State looked like they were enjoying the bowl experience and were happy to be there. Are we going to be questioning if Iowa wants to be there, or is the bowl losing streak enough motivation for this team?
You would hope that the bowl losing streak is enough motivation for this team. It has to be. I mean, that's something that these guys were talking about in August. I mean, they had that question thrown at them. I think I might have asked that question even back in August about, you know, losing five-game bowl losing streak. I think that, you know, that's one of the big things, one of the big campaign promises, I think, of this season is ending that bothersome streak and going into the winter with, you know, something good for them. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to turn out. I think I don't like so much weight on one game. I from everything I've read, BC has been very enthusiastic about going to New York and has been there before. And I want to say they helped set the attendance record there. I want to say it was like 39,000 or something like that. But Boston College, you know, I think Alex, if you're looking for that, Boston College will probably be the team a little more active. And Iowa will be the team that's, you know, just trying to get that bull monkey off its back.
Mark Morehouse with us for a few more minutes from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I don't want to completely give short change to Phil Parker today. So what did Iowa's defensive coordinator have to say about the season now looking in the rearview mirror?
I think his most interesting thoughts were maybe toward next year. He talked a little bit about rebuilding the linebacker core, and I think it's, well, obviously it's going to need it because there's three seniors. He mentioned four names there, Aaron Menz, Nick Neiman, Armani Jones, and Christian Welsh are the four guys, and right now it looks like Armani Jones is trying to work his way in. So those four, he says Nick Neiman is actually a little bit faster than Ben Neiman. I think he's a little bit taller, too. So it looks like there's going to be a family heirloom position there at outside linebacker. But he talked a little bit about that. I asked him about what it was like against Purdue, you know, when you're peeling off, you know, you're in that third quarter when they had all those long passes completed against them. It led them to Matt Hankins eventually, and I think that kind of helped make their decision at that position. And at least this year, I mean, obviously there'll be competition there next year, but it looks like Matt Hankins has really risen. And so I guess they got a little bit better there out of that Purdue thing. It wasn't a total loss.
Now, Mark, the early signing period starts on Wednesday. It goes through Friday. Yep. And early feedback back in the spring and then into the summer was that Kirk Ferentz and the program kind of like the idea of having this early signing period. Have those feelings changed at all recently now that we're close to that signing period?
I don't think so. I think Brian Ferentz was asked today about, you know, has this created a glut of work in December? And he said basically no. Always recruiting, and, you know, there's always a bowl prep. So they said not really changed. And then he got in some digs. He got in, no names are named. But, you know, he said, you know, if there's a program that feels like it can swoop in and steal people's recruits at the last minute, I guess their Decembers are busy. And then he said something about watching the Wisconsin-Minnesota game and how that was, I think Wisconsin was up by 5 touchdowns by then, and he kind of groused about the broadcast turning its attention to P.J. Fleck because Wisconsin was too good and too boring for the commentators. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mark, when are you headed out to New York City for the Pinstripe Bowl?
December, Christmas Eve. December 24th, so just a 4-day bowl trip, which for this trip I kind of get. I mean, I don't know what the weather's going to be, and I don't really care, but I think 4-day bowl trip. As a guy who spent 11 days before in Tampa, I'm good with this, Todd.
Now, do you think the Hawkeyes will be good with this as well? Because this is going to be, if I remember hearing right, this will be their shortest bowl trip ever, right?
As far as I know, under Ferentz, this probably is. I 2001, I'm trying to remember. I want to say the Alamo Bowl was like somewhere in the same range, like 4 or 5 days. And I never did make it to a Sun Bowl, so I don't know about that. But yeah, I think this will probably be one of their shortest bowl trips. And I thought it was telling when Ferentz said he didn't want to spend 5 days in New York with his entire team on a bus. So they want to be self-contained and they want to be close to their field, and I don't think they want to deal with the logistics in New York, which, Todd, I don't know about you, but I like the idea for a bowl game in New York, but I'm not sure a lot of other people do. And, you know, if you look at bowl games and what they are and what you want them to be, usually that involves sun and sand. New York doesn't really offer that.
Yeah, and this is the first time that Iowa has really had to deal with that in the Ferentz era. You know, San Antonio, a couple Alamo Bowls, but at least you are in the South and you know it's probably going to be warmer down there. This is a little bit of a tough sell. I know we heard from the Pinstripe Bowl and the Iowa officials last week as far as number of tickets sold, and it didn't sound promising from the university's ticket allotment, but if you had to guess, how many people do you think would be making the trip from Eastern Iowa to New York City for the bowl game?
I'd probably say less than 3,000. I'm going to base this kind of – now, Iowa's 7-5, and I think that this has been an up-and-down year. I think it's been somewhat promising, somewhat disappointing, a lot of moving parts this season. I think I called it a 7-5 season in August, and that's how it played out. So 7-5 is probably going to take a little bit of bite out of people going to the bowl game. That and, you know, losing to Purdue at home in the last home game and the way that the stands cleared out then. Now, of course, there was some excitement generated by beating a Nebraska team that just wasn't up for it and just was not very good. But, Iowa sank that putt with vigor. And so I don't think that's going to be enough, Todd, to move the needle as far as bowls go. I mean, if this is not a championship bowl, this is a good non-conference game that Iowa probably should play in September. So I think if you look at it that way, it's okay. But I don't think people are flocking. There's no beaches there. I think there's a New York bias for some people in the Midwest. Maybe that doesn't play as much as I think it would. But, Todd, I'm basing everything off of the Tax Slayer Bowl. And remember that one? That was like 5,000 Iowa fans and 65,000 Tennessee fans.
I still have orange burned into my retina from that day. The Tennessee fans were everywhere, and the Iowa fans, sort of a similar season, right? I mean, just sort of limping to the finish line. The story was, well, maybe they can get this. Then it was, what, just a two-year bowl drought or three-year bowl drought off their back, and, well, now here we are still talking about trying to get that win in the column. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Appreciate it as always, Mark. I'll probably see you tomorrow down in Iowa City. Thanks for the time.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
That didn't exactly get people excited for the Pinstripe Bowl, did it?
I feel like that's all we've been doing for the past couple weeks is getting Pinstripe Bowl fever to spread.
Every time we do a segment on the Pinstripe Bowl, I feel like we should have like sad trombone music in the like. Wah, wah.
We had a meeting last week, and I wasn't feeling pretty under the weather, so between the meeting that we had early in the day and our show, I went into to see the doctor, and the doctor swabbed my throat for pinstripe fever, and the test came back negative. So I was glad to dodge that bullet.
I saw, and I have read now for the last several months, just to give people a heads up that may be going to New York for the game. The subway system in New York City has taken some major blows in recent months, and it's not running as efficiently as many New Yorkers feel it should be. And New York is not a fun city to navigate.
No. I always think Chicago's confusing, and then I went to New York.
Chicago, I have no problem because, everything stems from the downtown. If
yes.
You can get to the Loop, then you can essentially get within 6 or 8 blocks. You can get on a train and go anywhere you want to, and everything's fairly labeled. And you can also drive in Chicago, and driving in New York is just not an option.
No, it's impossible.
You don't drive there. Now, cabs, mass transportation, things like that. But I just think this is going to be disaster after disaster for people that are making this trip. And then you look at what happened in Atlanta yesterday at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, the busiest airport in the country. They lost power, and the flights, they had to cancel flights yesterday. They had to cancel a bunch of flights today. And all I'm thinking is, man, if there was some sort of snowstorm that were to hit New York while everybody was out there, and it would make it difficult for us to get back to the Midwest. You name it, if it can go wrong, it may go wrong on this bowl trip. I have a really bad feeling about this. And I don't know, you hear Boston College is excited about going to that game, and you get the Hawkeyes, we're going to get in and get out. I don't know. But that's why they play the game. We'll talk with some of the players themselves tomorrow in Iowa City. I think they're Kyle's at 12:30 availability tomorrow. So we'll hear from the Hawkeye players. And then on Wednesday, it is the early signing period. Kirk Ferentz will have a news conference where he'll discuss Iowa's signing class as well as his final pre-Pinstripe Bowl news conference. 6:22, we'll take a quick break. But before we do that, caller number 6 right now to 319-366-1600. You're going to take home a $50 gift certificate to Elevate Salon and Spa. A couple locations here in Cedar Rapids. Elevate Salon and Spa, the perfect opportunity for you to pick up a last-minute stocking stuffer for the important person in your life. 366-1600. We're going to hand out one of those certificates to caller number 6 right now. Back with more of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, the sparse utility of the war years was ready to give way to the cheer of color in fashion, furniture, and of course, jewelry. Women from Hollywood starlet to housewife glowed with colored gemstones on ear, neck, and hand. Often these beauties were received in a Hertin and Stocker box on Christmas morning. Ruby red and emerald green, blue sapphire, purple amethyst, aquamarine. Colored gemstones are again bringing cheer and joy. In fact, any one of these rare beauties would make an unforgettable holiday gift this year. So come see what's sparkling in those famous frosty windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish happy holidays and a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate, one of them is always there.
Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know how important the concept of home is at this time of the year. So throw another log on the fire and enjoy all the great moments that being home for the holidays provides. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty has helped hundreds of people just like you sell or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area. For Doug and the crew at Pinnacle Realty, it's all about home. Happy holidays and happy homes from Doug McAllister and Pinnacle Realty at soldincr.com.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at TryonInvestments.com.
Welcome back in. It is 6:25. The Chicago Cubs fans are gathered around the hot stove reading the reports that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were in the state of Texas over the weekend, where they reportedly were possibly meeting with representatives of right-handed pitcher Yu Darvish, who would be a tremendous free agent signing on the north side of Chicago. We will wait and see. We mentioned a little bit of baseball news earlier surrounding the Miami Marlins, and that's the fact that a couple of their young players don't want to be part of the rebuild that's going on there. They want to get out of Dodge as well. That would be JT Realmuto, the catcher, and Christian Yelich, who, with 5 years of team control, is the guy that the Marlins ownership thought that they were going to build around, but he's seen everybody else leave, and he doesn't want to be the last one standing. That situation getting much, much uglier in South Florida. Hey, congratulations going out to Jim in Cedar Rapids. He's the first of our weekly winners, or daily winners, I should say, for the Elevate Salon and Spa $50 gift certificate. Keep them in mind as you're doing some last-minute Christmas shopping. As a matter of fact, and I don't necessarily recommend this, but you can purchase gift certificates straight from them online. So
good to know in case I get that for Scott Unash.
You know what? He's a pretty loyal guy. I don't. Maybe he gets his haircut there. I don't know. But Scott's probably looking. Scott's looking for more than a haircut. Trust me on this one. I hope I save that. I think I may have thrown that list out. Well, we got the tape. We can roll back and listen to anything that was said today. We found that out in hour number two. Joining us now in the studio for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, it's Kyle, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's Megan Gustafson has been dominant since the opening tip of the season, and today was once again named Co-Big Ten Player of the Week. She had 26 points and 10 rebounds on 73% shooting in a victory over UNI this weekend to give her a nation-leading 11th double-double. She's top 15 nationally in eight other categories, including third in field goal percentage and rebounds. At 11-1, she's got the Hawkeyes off to their best start since 2010 and ranked 25th in the country. Some bad news for the Iowa women, though. Just within the last 30 to 40 minutes, it was announced that Tanaya Davis started every game at point guard this season. She's going to be out for the rest of the year with a torn ACL. All four of the state's major universities collided in Des Moines at the Hy-Vee Classic on Saturday. First, it was the Hawkeyes taking care of Drake 90-64, led by Tyler Cook with 23 points. Nick Barrett, 11 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals. Jordan Bohannon and Luca Garza also reached double digits. Iowa State overcame a halftime deficit to beat UNI 76-65. Wyatt Lohaus led the Panthers with 16 points, but the Cyclones had 5 of their 8 players in double digits, including Lindell Wigginton's game-high 20 points. Nick Weiler-Babb continued his strong play at point guard with 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists, and the Cyclones have now won 8 in a row. We've got a lot going on here at KGYM tonight. First, we'll be checking out just a little bit early, heading to Linmar on our FM frequencies beginning at 6:50. So our show will only be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, for those final 10 minutes. And when that's done, we're going to have the Cyclone call-in show until 8:30, at which point we'll pick up Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Buccaneers on all three frequencies.
They played the Hy-Vee Classic over the weekend in Des Moines, and the event is under contract through 2019, but the Hawkeyes could bail on it early, should they? 319-366-1600. We'll explain when we come back.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word JOLT to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text JOLT to 797979. Text JOLT to 797979.
This holiday season, make the smart choice and switch to Sprint and get a new Samsung Galaxy S8, S8 Plus, Note 8, or S8 Active with 50% off your lease. That's right, the hottest Samsung devices, 50% off. Plus, with Galaxy Forever, you can upgrade to the latest Galaxy anytime after 12 lease payments. And when you switch to Sprint, you get the best price for unlimited. $25 per month per line for a family of 4, plus get a fifth line free. That's 50% off Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. You also get 10 gigabytes of mobile hotspot in HD, so you can stream your favorite holiday movies, music, and games. So stop by your local Sprint store, sprint.com/holidaydeals, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 to learn more.
Requires 18-month lease and new line savings via monthly credit applied within 2 bills. Early termination results in remaining balance due after 1/31/19. Pay $38 a line per month with auto pay. Excludes taxes, surcharges, and roaming. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited rates, AT&T Unlimited Plus plan and T-Mobile One Plus plan for 5 lines. Carrier features differ. Coverage and offer not everywhere. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.
6:31, welcome back in. Great show planned for you tomorrow. We're going to be hearing from some of the Iowa Hawkeye players as they gear up for next week's Pinstripe Bowl against Boston College in New York City. Also coming up later this week on Friday, the panel will assemble for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. Scott Unash, the weekly winner this week. Scott went 5-1, bringing fresh in Marion a $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. And we've had a couple people ask whether or not the Pinstripe Bowl would be part of the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 this week. It's a little difficult with the game being played next Wednesday, but as I am the commissioner of the Carl Ennerny's Pick 6, we are picking the Pinstripe Bowl. So we'll have Iowa as a 2.5-point favorite over Boston College as one of the six games that we pick on the Pick 6. Also, the Foster Farms Bowl, which is played the same night just after the Pinstripe Bowl, that features Purdue and Arizona. The Boilermaker is an underdog in that contest as well. Not a whole lot of love for the Big Ten early on. Hawkeyes a slight favorite over BC, and the Boilermakers the underdog to Arizona.
Is this the first time we've ever had a game in the Pick 6 that was later than Monday?
I believe so, yes. Sometimes, occasionally, we have had like Monday night football to round out the schedule. If it was Bears-Packers or it was an interesting game, this is breaking protocol. And I hope that that's okay with everybody. But I think the important thing is that we do the segment on Friday like normal. That's normal.
As long as we have a winner before the next Pick 6,
exactly.
I think it's fine.
Exactly. And that will allow us then next week to pick among the six games, the Liberty Bowl with Iowa State, and then Iowa State fans and Iowa fans are both happy with us, as opposed to earlier today when one of those fan bases was not very happy with a member of the team here. But hey, he wore it, we moved on, and if you don't have any clue what we're talking about, as Kyle would hope that you don't, you can go back and listen to the podcast available at kgymradio.com, which will be online shortly after we're off the air tonight. While you're there, make sure you vote in the poll question. What was the biggest head-scratching moment from this weekend's NFL action? Emil's Hideaway is the sponsor for the poll question. You can find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Iowa and Iowa State, along with you and I and Drake, met Saturday in Des Moines for the Hy-Vee Classic. It used to be called the Big Four Classic. They've played this event at Wells Fargo Arena every year since 2012. Attendance was not great this year. The Iowa-Drake game was the opener. They listed the attendance as 13,828. It's the first time since attendance has dipped below 15,000 since 2013, and the smallest crowd since the first year, 2012, when just 13,180 people showed up. The Ames Tribune has a very good story today, written by Travis Hines, who's joined us on this program in the past, that there is a clause in the contract with these four schools that should one of the teams involved have scheduling changes arise with their conference schedule, that it could allow them to terminate their portion of the agreement as long as there is an 18-month notice. So if you recall, the Big Ten has announced that it's going to go to a 20-game Big Ten conference schedule moving forward. And that's up from the previous or the current 18 games. So there's going to be two extra Big Ten games. Iowa can bail on the Big Four Classic after next season. The 2019 game is currently scheduled for December 21st, 2019. But because of this, this gives the Hawkeyes an out. They've got 20 Big Ten games. They've got the Big Ten tournament. They've got the Big Ten ACC challenge, which they're locked into, along with the Gavitt games. They need to, or they may need to, address future non-conference schedules, which is why this provision was put in the contract to begin with. Gary Barta gave the Ames Tribune a statement today and says, Iowa is supportive of the Big Ten's recent decision to go to 20 conference games. It's good for the conference and good for our fans. As a result of that change, we're having to look at future scheduling adjustments to accommodate two fewer non-conference games. No decisions have been made on what those adjustments will be.
Please don't.
The other quote from Gary Barta, the Hy-Vee Classic attendance was down a little this year, but it's been a great event. It's been an exciting way to showcase our team in the Des Moines area. That, to me, is not an overwhelming endorsement of said event. And We mentioned Scott Docterman's comments on the landa10.com earlier in the program. Scott pointed out that Drake is 0-6 in this event, and essentially whoever draws Drake, it's a win. And you look at what Iowa... Drake went up to Minneapolis last Monday and played Minnesota within a point, and people looked at that game and thought, okay, they may give the Hawkeyes a run for their money. And then you saw that game Saturday, the way that it played out Saturday afternoon, and you go, yeah, that was almost as ugly as some of Iowa's other non-conference wins. And then Iowa State and UNI, it was a good game. It wasn't a great game, but the atmosphere is lacking for that event. One of the games is almost always non-competitive. Scott likened it to a JV varsity doubleheader. Whoever's got Drake is basically playing the JV game. And if they don't do something to address this or give a fresh coat of paint to it, this may not make it beyond 2019 anyway. Is the Big Four Classic, the Hy-Vee Classic, in trouble? 319-366-1600.
My question is, if they decide to go away from the Big Four Classic at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines, is it going to be an excuse to schedule another cupcake team, or will it be an excuse to either A, play these home-and-home games at Drake and UNI, or B, schedule better teams in the non-conference? Because if it is the first option, where they go out and schedule more cupcake teams, then this is not good for anything. I agree with you 100%, Todd, that I wish that Iowa and Iowa State would swallow their pride or whatever they think that they're accomplishing right now and go play home and homes against these two teams, especially you and I. And yes, Drake is not exactly a great basketball program, but you and I has proven to be. They have been a good mid-major program, and they deserve to have home and homes against these two teams. So I just don't want this to become the whole Iowa State excuse on the football schedule that Iowa has had over the past 5 years. Now, that's going to change because Iowa State is obviously heading in the right direction. But, oh, well, we have Iowa State on the schedule. We can't go out and schedule another Power 5 team. It's not going to work for us. Let's not make it that if I'm the athletic department. I think that I want to see these teams play. Is that too much to ask for? Because right now, that statement sounds like, well, we might move away from it, and we might not play these games anymore.
I think it would benefit Iowa to play you and I every year.
Absolutely.
I think Ben Jacobson has that long contract there. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. You and I, year in and year out, is a decent non-conference opponent. But year in and year out, it's also a game that Iowa should, at least on paper, be favored to win in. That's not a knock on you and I. It's just Big Ten versus Missouri Valley. Now, as we know, UNI is a giant killer in the past and in the future and in the present as well. But I would like to see now that's just it. You hit the nail on the head here. The provision is if they need to cut two non-conference games, they can bail from this. I can't see them cutting out the Southern Utahs or the Grambling States
Coppin,
these 300 plus RPI teams where they're putting them on the schedule and they know that they're getting a win. I don't think those games are going. Now, in a perfect world, you'd look and say, okay, what are the two ugliest games on the schedule? Yeah, lop those off. It'll help our RPI. Everybody will be happy. But that's not the way that things work. Is this event, which, look, it's not perfect. You get the, as it was put last week here on the airwaves, conference tournament vibe about it, where Iowa and Drake are tipping off at 1 o'clock. Iowa State fans and UNI fans are trickling in because they don't care about Iowa and Drake. They've already seen Iowa earlier in the season. The Iowa State fans have anyway, and UNI doesn't have to play them, so they don't care. And so you get an arena that may have 13, 14,000 people in it, but only 7,500 of them may be engaged in the game at any given time. And then from that, you cut that in half or even more so and say, okay, well, there's only 5,000 Iowa fans there. So among the 14,000 people, only 5,000 are into the game when Iowa's blowing Drake out of the building. And then Iowa State and UNI tip off 30 minutes after the conclusion of the first game. How many Hawkeye fans are sticking around and saying, hey, I like college basketball. I'm going to stick around and root for UNI because I don't like Iowa State. Now, there were a couple of them, and there are every year. But most people are looking and going, okay, 1 o'clock game gets over at about 3:30. Let's head down to Court Avenue, grab some beers, grab a dinner while we're here in Des Moines. Des Moines a great place, good nightlife, great places to eat. They're not sticking around for that second basketball game. So it's essentially a one and done for both fan bases. It's a good event. Could it be a great event? Maybe. But I think they need to make some changes to it, or they just need to walk away from it and say, you know what, we tried this and it didn't work. We're going to go back to the way that it used to be, but maybe with a few caveats. Maybe it's a 2-1 deal with UNI. If you don't want to play Drake, that's fine. But maybe you go to UNI and say, we'll play two games at Carver and two games at Hilton and one at the McLeod Center. And if that works, I'd say do it in a heartbeat. And if it doesn't, then that's a real shame. Because I think UNI has proven that at least in basketball, they can hang with them. Well, they've proven it in football too, time and time again, taking Iowa down to the wire and having beaten Iowa State. But UNI deserves to be in the discussion with those two other programs. And Drake is a bad fit for that event, but I understand they copied it off the Indiana model where it's Indiana, Butler, Notre Dame, and Purdue, right? Or Indiana State. It's four Indiana teams. They get together and that's Indiana. They love college basketball there. Here, unless the teams are fantastic, people are sort of indifferent.
Well, even if the team is fantastic, this non-conference schedule, especially the home schedule, is not going to draw fans. And I think that a lot of times the athletic department thinks, okay, well, this fan base is so loyal that they're going to show up at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night to watch Alabama State or Grambling State or Chicago State or Southern. And Todd, you've been at Carver Hawkeye Arena for a couple of these games, and I know they list the attendance at 10,000, 11,000, 12,000. Is that accurate?
Well, it's tickets sold, and everybody does it. Butts in seats going to be way fewer than that. And you look tomorrow night, Southern Utah coming in. That's an 8:07 tip-off, I think.
Yes.
On a Tuesday night, the week before Christmas, students are gaudy. They're out. So you know that section of Carver Hawkeye Arena is going to be a ghost town. Now, when I was a student at Iowa and I had season basketball tickets for the 2 years that I had them before I started covering Iowa basketball at the Daily Iowan, you used to have an option. You could get the tickets for when school was in session or you could get a full season ticket. I had the full season ticket. I would come back over Thanksgiving or I would come back over the month-long holiday break in between Christmas and Martin Luther King Day. Not everybody did that, though. So you know the students aren't going to be there. And we've talked about this time and time again. If you work in Des Moines, or even if you're in the Quad Cities, which is only an hour away, an 8 o'clock tip-off, what time are you getting home? If you stay for the entire game and you're driving home, you got to work the next day? It's a lose-lose proposition, some of these non-conference games are.
They are, and I think that the one thing that Iowa fans, at least Iowa fans from Iowa's standpoint, look at when they see an on-conference schedule like that is, okay, every 2 years Iowa State will be coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena, and that's really the one non-conference game other than when the Big Ten ACC Challenge is in Iowa City that the fans will show up and get excited for. I think that there would be a similar reaction to if UNI and Iowa played a home and home. Now, it wouldn't be the same type of crowd as Iowa State, but I think it would be somewhere in between what you see in the Big Ten ACC Challenge game in Iowa State. And it would at least give the fans who are paying good money for season tickets another reason to be excited for the non-conference schedule, because I think that UNI has proven, built their brand at the mid-major level to where that would be a big game every year. And right now, like I said, other than what is the game, the home game this year that people are getting excited about in the non-conference, there aren't any. And then you're going to try to sell them on traveling an hour and a half, or fans in Iowa City traveling an hour and a half over to Des Moines to watch a Drake-Iowa game. That's not going to be a big sell either. So there's just no sell right now within the non-conference schedule.
Ryan from Walford on the Hurtin and Stocker text line says, what would it take to make that a tournament? Is it even feasible? It probably isn't, because Iowa and Iowa State aren't going to walk away from their annual game at Hilton and Carver. And so if you made it a tournament and Iowa and Iowa State were on opposite ends of the bracket and they would have to meet again in the championship, I don't think either school is going to look at that and say that they like it. So you'd have to remove one of those teams from the equation, or you'd have to not play the annual game at Hilton or Carver, and then you run the risk of, well, what would happen if there were an upset in the tournament and it wasn't Iowa and Iowa State getting to the championship? And then plus, that would be, what, four games in one day? Fran McCaffrey, Steve Prohm, athletic departments, they're not signing off on that. So you'd have to make it a two-day event at that point, and then it just becomes unfeasible. So you're stuck with what you've got, which is four in-state programs. I feel bad for Drake, because Drake's the youngest sibling here in the metaphor. They're the ones that they're tagging along. They want nothing. They look up to Iowa and Iowa State and now UNI, and they want to be there, and whatever the big kids are doing, they need to. They're 0-6. And most of the time, the games haven't been competitive. Drake had a really nice window for a couple years when Dr. Tom Davis was running the team, turned things over to his son, Keno. Drake was on the national scene. They got that respect back that that program had 30, 35 years ago. And then Keno left, and it went downhill very quickly from there. A couple bad coaching hires, a bad move by the athletic director, and now Drake is back to being the redheaded stepchild here. So you've got three solid teams in the state. Does that event have the same draw if Iowa and Iowa State trade off playing UNI every year, and instead of Drake, you replace it with another team?
It just,
you can't really do
it. Doesn't work, does it? Who are you going to put? Who would do that? Who would step in? What other team would step in and say, "Oh yeah, we'll do this. We'll travel to Des Moines and take part in this."
That there would be teams that would do it, but they would be the Coppin States of the world, and no one's going to sit there. You would need that perfect geographic fit and a team to willingly say, "We'll go play a tough road game in a quote unquote neutral environment, but we're going to do it in your state capital." And I just don't see that. So at the end of the day, you've got the Hy-Vee Classic, you've got Iowa with the suicide switch here, the dead man switch. They can pull it, bail in with 18 months notice. So there will be a classic next year in December. We know that. But will there be one in 2019? And that's a question right now. It's a great story. If you follow Travis Hines on Twitter, if you go to the Ames Tribune's website, you'll see his story. You can read the Gary Barta, Jamie Pollard quotes. Pollard, the AD at Iowa State, says that they are aware that Iowa does have the opportunity to pull out of this. And I think behind the scenes, maybe there are some discussions right now to try to get out ahead of this and either keep the event going or give the other schools notice that, hey, because of the Big Ten schedule changes, we're going to have to pull out of this, and then eventually it probably falls apart, which is a shame because it was the best of a bad situation. Drake and UNI were still able to at least play one of the in-state schools every year. I don't think people were in love with the idea, but it was a good compromise. It made money, but it wasn't great. And because it wasn't great, maybe that's the reason why Iowa can just walk away from it. 866-1600. We'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. High school basketball now coming your way on our FM frequency, so we're 1600 AM only until the top of the hour, and we catch up with the Cyclone Courtside Show. Back with more after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Beat the Christmas shopping crowds this holiday season and start your shopping at Siegel's. Get jewelry at 40 to 75% off retail savings. This sale includes our entire stock of new and estate jewelry, diamonds, watches, tennis bracelets, gold and sterling. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Visit our family-owned and operated store located on First Avenue, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
H-E-L-P. Help. It's not a four-letter word. It's something to be proud of. After all, everyone needs support now and then. That's why the Iowa Department of Public Health created YourLifeIowa.org, so you have access to information and treatment for alcohol, drug and gambling problems, suicidal thoughts, and more. From experts dedicated to the health of all Iowans. We're your everyday life support. Visit YourLifeIowa.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
Just a reminder, if you need a last-minute gift, you can check out Elevate Salon and Spa. We've got those $50 gift cards all week long here on the program. Or, if you're not the gambling type, if you don't want to just sit back and hope that you win those gift cards, you can check them out at one of their locations, find them online, and get more information at our website, kgymradio.com. Don't forget, vote in the poll question while you're there. Thank you to our friends at Emil's Hideaway. What was the biggest head-scratching moment from a very intriguing week in the NFL? Most of the voting, as we get into the final minutes here of the program tonight, the final minute of the New England-Pittsburgh game. Was it a catch? Does the NFL know what a catch is? And did they bail the Patriots out, which I thought Colin Cowherd had an excellent point on Twitter last night. The Steelers are arguably one of the most popular teams in the NFL. Why would the NFL sell out one of its most popular teams for a team that everybody hates in the Patriots? That doesn't make much sense. But controversial ending nonetheless. New England wins the game last night. That's got the most votes so far today. KGYMradio.com. Kyle's with us. He's got your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's Megan Gustafson has been dominant since the opening tip of the season, and today was once again named co-Big Ten Player of the Week. She had 26 points and 10 rebounds on 73% shooting in a victory over UNI this weekend to give her a nation-leading 11th double-double. She's top 15 nationally in eight other categories, including field goal percentage and rebounds. And at 11-1, she's got the Hawkeyes off to their best start since 2010 and ranked 25th in the country. There is some bad news for the Iowa women, though. Just within the last hour or so, it was announced that starting point guard Tanaya Davis is going to be out for the year with a torn ACL. All four of the state's major universities collided in Des Moines at the Hy-Vee Classic on Saturday. First, it was the Hawkeyes taking care of Drake, 90-64, led by Tyler Cook with 23 points. Nick Bear also had 11 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals. Jordan Bohannon and Luca Garza also reached double digits. Iowa State overcame a halftime deficit to beat UNI 76-65. Wyatt Lohaus led the Panthers with 16 points, but the Cyclones had 5 of their 8 players in double digits, including Lindell Wigginton's game-high 20. Nick Weiler-Babb continued his strong play since moving to point guard with 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists, and the Cyclones have now won 8 in a row. We've got a lot going on at KGYM here tonight. We checked in a little bit early at Linmar on our FM frequencies, so our show is just on 1600 right now for about 30 more seconds. And when we're done, we're going to have the Cyclone Call-In Show until about 8:30, at which point we're going to pick up Monday Night Football between the Falcons and Buccaneers on all three frequencies.
Cyclone Courtside Show is going to kick off tonight with a question about a player who may or may not be ISU's version of Hakeem Olajuwon. I wish I was making that up. Somebody on the text line wants to know, why can't you make the Hy-Vee Classic an all-day event and start it with a couple high school basketball games? That's not going to be much of a draw. High school basketball is not going to put butts in the seats. If college basketball isn't putting butts in the seats, high school basketball isn't going to put butts in the seats. So, a good idea. Trying to think outside the box, but that's not going to turn that particular event around or save it. It's college basketball or bust at this point, and sort of leaning toward bust. Coming up on the program tomorrow, you will hear from Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz and defensive coordinator Phil Parker. They met with the media late this afternoon, and we'll have another one of those $50 Elevate Salon and Spa gift cards that you could win as a last-minute stocking stuffer for the loved one in your life. That'll do it for a Monday. Hope to hear from you on a Tuesday. It's another edition of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn in the books.